Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. Before I get to my distinguished guest, and one of my favorite guests, and one of the very, very small number of regulars, just have to share one thought because I have to get it off my chest. Driving into work today, I saw a man or a woman, I don't know, with great self-esteem. The person who believes that waiting in line to make a turn is only for the rest of us. And I am certain that this person has high self-esteem because what the person thinks is these suckers have to wait in line, but I am greater than they. So just a thought on the self-esteem movement and some of the lowlifes who drive cars. The chuckles in the background, or guffaws, we'll find out which in a moment, belong to the inimitable Ann Coulter. Ann, how does one properly introduce you?
Oh, that's a good question.
It is a good question. It was not just a throw out line.
I suppose,
you know, folks, did you ever hear Ann Coulter? Wait a minute. Did you ever hear Ann Coulter stutter? No.
Well, I've never had to introduce myself. Person sit home all day and watch MSNBC because she doesn't have a job.
That's a good one. Do you know, I was listening to MSNBC. I can't watch it, but I do listen. And I was listening on the way in, and I realized that if that's the way you get your news. No. In all seriousness.
I know.
You don't live in America.
No, I know. I do watch a lot of MSNBC and Fox, and only when they're both in commercial break do I go to CNN. Despite this image of CNN being, oh, they're the ones in the middle. You have Fox right-wing, MSNBC left-wing. No, CNN is every bit as left-wing as MSNBC. It's just more boring. Congratulations, CNN.
Well, you have to pick this up then. Ensconced in a massively long column by Tom Friedman in the New York Times is one line, CNN Turkey did not cover the demonstrations against Erdogan. Instead, they put on a show on penguins. This is from Thomas Friedman.
Well, I admit that does sound like they have the same person picking news as they do with the Los Angeles Times. As Mickey Kouse used to point out for years, all these breaking stories in L.A., you'd have to read about them in the New York Post. It also could be fear of government retaliation. But wait, I wanted to say something about Fox and MSNBC as a massive consumer of both of them. On Fox, you know what they're talking about on the other stations. And, I mean, apart from the fact that they actually have creditable liberals making the arguments. They used to have a former Democrat vice presidential candidate, the person who won ran Mondale's campaign, the person who ran Dukakis's campaign.
Juan Williams.
I mean, they do have an impressive roster, whereas, you know, on MSNBC and now GOP consultant, and some bozo you've never heard of
right.
before. But you don't even know, if you watch nothing but MSNBC, to go back to your point, you do not know what they are talking about on the other stations, on the internet. You just do not know. And sometimes when they need to attack a story that they had previously not been reporting, they need to quickly explain what the story is they've been hiding from you in order to attack the, you know, Republican involved or whatever.
That is entirely right. Anyway, Ann Coulter, you wrote a piece. We're going to talk about immigration. You wrote a piece here which, unfortunately, needs to be universally read no matter what a person's position on the issue. It's titled, If the GOP is this stupid, it deserves to die. I used to say for many years there are two parties, the destructive and the stupid, and I'm a member of the stupid.
Yes.
And stupid is better than destructive. But I understand to a certain extent, although I think they've been better because their guts in opposing unanimously Obamacare, I thought that was something praiseworthy with regard to the Republicans. All right. No, I just wanted to say that because I don't want to beat up on the...
A lot of these stupid ones right now were not in the Senate then.
Well, that's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. All right. You write this. This is... I've picked out a number of lines that I'd like you to just expound on. And this is with regard to Ann Coulter's take on the issue of the immigration bill. First of all, how much does it weigh? Didn't somebody just weigh it? No, I'm serious.
Never a good sign.
No, it isn't. 24 pounds, and that's without any amendments. It weighs 24 pounds. So,
well, that couldn't possibly be the Democrats hoodwinking Republicans.
No. Actually, where is Sean? Where is the read the bill? That's one of my favorite ones of our sound bites.
You'll read the bill.
Yeah, that was about Obamacare. So that was John Conyers. All right, so here goes. Contrary, this is Ann Coulter on Ann Coulter. Contrary to everyone's expectations, 10% more blacks voted in 2012 compared to 2008, even beating white voters, the usual turnout champions. Eligible black voters turned out at a rate of 66.2% compared to 64.1% of eligible white voters. And only 48% of all eligible Hispanic voters went to the polls. You have a very fascinating point that the group that really put Obama in victory were elderly black women. Why don't you explain that to my listeners?
Well, we heard all of these claims, particularly from the amnesty activist La Raza and so on, about this explosion of Hispanic voters, and if Republicans don't give them something, they'll really hate Republicans. And then the Census Bureau always does this. They do a serious analysis of who voted, and it comes out 6 months later, and it just came out a few weeks ago, and it turns out, contrary to the claims of the amnesty agitators, that it wasn't 12%, 10%, 18% of the electorate being Hispanic. It was 8.4%. And so, you know, the Rubios, Jeff Flakes, Kelly Ayotts, Lindsey Grahamnesties of the world, their argument is, unless we make, for amnesty, unless we make immediately about 10 million, within 6 years, that will be 30 million new, mostly Hispanic immigrant citizens in this country, because of chain migration, they can bring in all their family members. And so in another 11 million very quickly becomes 30, 40 million, then this 8.4% of the electorate, which is already voting 70 to 80% Democratic, they'll really hate us. And there's no evidence that even the ones who are voting Democrat now want amnesty. They agree with Democratic positions. They like big government. They like Obamacare. They're against they're more pro-abortion than other groups, oddly enough. According to an ADL poll, I put this in a column a week or two ago, according to an ADL poll, foreign-born Hispanics are the most anti-Semitic groups in the country. So it is a myth, this idea that it shows such a cultural insensitivity, I might add, from people who are getting morally self-righteous with us, that these Lindsey Grahams and Rubios of the world, and of course Chuck Schumers and Dick Durbins, but I think they know, to act like Hispanics are just like blacks, because African Americans actually do agree with Republicans on a lot of issues. If you take it poll by poll, the Democrats have just convinced them that Republicans are racist. That's why they won't vote for Republicans, but they agree with the most conservative positions on gay marriage, on abortion,
on school choice.
A school of choice. They're not particularly indisposed to capitalism. An awful lot of them have become multimillionaires under capitalism. It's just we're never going to get some of these voters anyway. But the myth that these are the people that this is what we have to get. No, apparently what we need to get is elderly black ladies. And as Steve Saylor says, this is not exactly the wave of the future.
Yeah, the statistics are very important and enlightening. So we'll be putting up Ann Coulter's column up at DennisPrager.com. How do you explain Marco Rubio in this matter?
The truth of the matter is, I mean, it's a simple explanation. I just think he's not that bright. He's being totally rolled by Chuck Schumer. I mean, the idea that Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin, who are the main forces behind this bill, I understand why the Democrats want amnesty. They don't care about low-wage workers. They've never cared about the working class in America. They want They want 30 million more mostly Democratic voters. And they seem to be just totally rolling Marco Rubio. And I mean, you can't help but to notice Ted Cruz, Jeff Sessions, Mike Lee, some of our very smartest senators are not being buffaloed by Chuck Schumer here.
All right. We'll be back in a moment with Ann Coulter. Her piece about the Republicans and the immigration bill. And if you want to challenge her, that's great. 1-8-PRAGER-776. This is the Dennis Prager Show. Hello, everybody. Dennis Prager here, and I will supply the introduction this segment. She is inimitable. That is the guest, Ann Coulter. And by the way, her books are extremely important and extremely serious. So which book would you like to focus just the attention of my listeners on before we continue on the immigration issue?
I think Mugged. It's the most recent one. I was hoping it would have more of an influence on the election so that it wouldn't be relevant anymore. It did have enough of an influence on the election. It's about the history of racial demagoguery. And boy, you would be surprised at how often Al Sharpton shows up in the stories where someone ends up dead. But it did prevent MSNBC from calling anything else racist from the day it came out until the week after the election. And then
they resumed
opposing Susan Rice.
Oh, wait, I have to play for you. Sean, could you get that audio? Ann, if you didn't hear this, you have to hear this. There's a professor of Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League institution. She was on MSNBC, and this is the most convoluted theory yet I have heard from the left to show that the right is racist. Listen to this.
Well, I think the census just released data, so yeah. Part of it is that there's the changing racial demographics in the United States. For the first time in American history, children born under the age of 5 are majority of them are racial and ethnic minorities in the U.S. So I think that there's a kind of moral panic, a fear of the end of whiteness that we've been seeing a long time, and that I think, you know, Obama's ascension as president kind of symbolizes to a certain degree. And so I think this is one response to that sense that there's a decreasing white majority in the country, and that women's bodies and white women's bodies in particular are obviously a crucial way of reproducing whiteness, white supremacy, white privilege. And so I think it's just a kind of clamping down on women's bodies, in particular white women's bodies, even though women of color are really caught in the fray. I mean,
okay, so you get that? So pro-life is racist.
I have a chapter on this about the new civil rights. Democrats never gave a crap about real civil rights, which is for black people, because of what Democrats had been doing to them. The truth about that is all in Mugged. And within, 5 minutes of the ink being dry on the 1964 Civil Rights Act, suddenly, Democrats dropped the blacks and moved on to, the gays, the abortion ladies, the illegal immigrants. So that's what they really condemned. And Bill Maher now says the pot smokers. Those are the civil rights liberals really care about. No, the Republican position is, and Justice Rehnquist's position was, civil rights is about black people. They were brought here against their will. They were treated horribly, again, mostly by Democrats, for hundreds of years. Them we owe something to. Most black people have descendants or are descended from people going back longer than most white people. Why is it that, how can you throw in illegal immigrants with them? No, we owe something to our fellow American citizens here. We have to take care of our own. We need a little me time right now, and not to go out searching for other victims the world over we can bring in who can then set off bombs at the Boston Marathon.
What, if any, polls have been taken among blacks with regard to illegal immigration?
Not for it.
I would assume not.
And I cite in Mugged, in fact, a book by a much smarter African-American professor down at, I forget what the university is, but she's written an entire book on how illegal immigration and the massive legal immigration of low-skilled immigrants, how it is devastating to blacks. I mean, this is for although I just mentioned, you know, many multimillionaire blacks, but the great mass of blacks are still trying to get ahead and to work their way up. And because the Democrats put an end to the normal immigrant trajectory for blacks, that was a specific policy of the Kerner Commission. You know, a few generations out of slavery. No, let's not make blacks go the way that immigrants go. Let's just enjoy their culture. Well, their culture didn't really help them that much, or at least the culture of the South. And right as they're, you know, making it on the cusp of getting better and better jobs and higher wages, no, we have this massive unemployment crisis and low wage crisis because of an oversupply of low-skilled labor. And what do the Democrats want to do? Bring in
low-skilled labor. By the way, you made a point in passing, which I was not familiar with, that the ADL, hardly a friend of conservatives, the Anti-Defamation League, released a report. This was, 2011? And it was that the most anti-Semitic group in America is foreign-born Hispanics, 41% of whom have anti-Semitic views, as opposed to 19% of the entire population. But here's the point that is important. With regard to American-born Hispanics, it goes down to 20%, essentially the same as... So, wait, here's the key point. On that issue, they do change the views they come with. But on big government, they don't change the views because anti-Semitism has no place in America, Democrat or Republican.
Right.
But they are reinforced in other views that they come with.
Yeah, that actually is kind of, it's very hopeful. But
No, it isn't hopeful. Because, I'm saying you're right.
Not assimilating them on the other point.
That's right, exactly. It's only hopeful on anti-Semitism, which is wonderful.
But that's something even liberals agree on. But
that's what I'm saying, exactly.
In the backyard or, you know, honor killings. No. Let them have their own cultures. No, we don't even, I mean, adding for the cherry on top of everything else here, this is not a country that attempts to assimilate immigrants anymore. I mean, back not that long ago.
It's not assimilating American-born.
Right, but immigrants were really put through the ringer, and they were not allowed to bring their own cultures. No, great, you can come, but you are going to adopt our
character. America is multi-ethnic, but not multicultural.
Oh, that's a great line.
It's not mine. I don't know whose it is, though. But it
that
is a great line.
Great line.
So
and
I only get credit for remembering a great line. But I didn't come up with it.
If we simply paused immigration, I mean all immigration, legal and illegal, because in both cases it's heavily unskilled labor, harming those at the bottom rungs of our society the most, then Republicans have a chance to get more and more of these people as voters, and they have a chance to better themselves and have better lives. The Democrats specifically want not only unskilled labor, but they want them to stay unskilled. They want them to need government assistance because that makes them Democratic voters. So we're going to change the country. We're going to harm the poorest, least equipped members of our society to help the Democrats with their electoral politics.
All right. You have time?
Sure.
Good. All right. I want to get into the immigration bill. It's so important, and there are powerful points that she makes in this piece, which is secondarily about the GOP and primarily about the issue of immigration. It's up at DennisPrager.com. Hi, everybody. You are listening to the Dennis Prager Show. We're talking about immigration, and the we is not the royal we. It is Ann Coulter and I, and you should get her book mugged. It's so important. And almost every page, pretty much every page, you will just say, oh, my God, I didn't know that. I want to ask you about this low-skilled issue, and because I want to get it clear for myself. On the one hand, whenever I go to areas that have few minorities, all I see are white kids doing the fast food ordering at McDonald's, at Wendy's, etc. So I understand that part. But the average restaurant job whether it's the cook or the busboy, if there were not this enormous immigration from Latin America, you do feel that those jobs would be taken by blacks, whites, and others who already live here?
Yes, in fact, I know. One of my friends just got back from a trip to Wisconsin and Chicago, and he was so excited. He got back and said, guess what I saw in Chicago? I saw Americans doing the jobs Americans won't do. There are still parts of the country where you really do see what I saw in my childhood. The gardeners were all studly college kids coming home on vacation and working out and getting a tan. You did see, yes, these jobs absolutely would be taken. You might have to pay them a little bit more. Sorry, Sheldon Adelson and Foster Freeze, but right now the vast influx of low-skilled immigrants is a wealth transfer to the very rich who have lots of employees, whether it is cooks and pool boys and chauffeurs and nannies and maids, or if it's all of the workers in your restaurant or all of the workers in your hotel. Oh, no, they do well under our current immigration policy, and even worse under the proposed amnesty. But the rest of us, hardworking, not only lower classes, but middle class, are the ones who end up subsidizing that labor because the illegal immigrants can't live on it either, and they access government assistance. One other point that doesn't get made very often is the immigrants do well because they get to, get their schooling and health care and housing and food stamps paid for by all Americans, not just the ones who are benefiting from the, quote, cheap labor. They then, take half the money they're earning and send the rest back to Mexico. And you cannot tell me that is not a net loss for America. I mean, it would be like me moving into your house and telling you this is a boon for your household economy because, look, our food bill has gone up. Our electricity bill has gone up. But what am I spending my money on? On me, on my clothes, on my magazines. Look, Dennis, we have lots more magazines being delivered to the house. I mean, it used to be that when you traveled in Eastern Europe, which had to be a little bit more careful about its economy being precarious communist countries, you had to spend a certain amount of money in that country before leaving. You would get a certain number of whatever their currency was, and when you left the border, you could not have any of it left. You had to spend it in the country. That is an economic add-on, I think still not enough, considering you have to take the net in these things. How much government assistance are they getting compared to how much are they paying in? Liberals and Rubio only want to count one side of the ledger. It's like a kid with a lemonade stand. Look, I made $50. Yes, but it cost me $100 to make that lemonade.
Right. Now, you point out here in your article, the article is If the GOP Is This Stupid, It Deserves to Die. You point out the following. The Republican Party's entire battle plan going forward is to win slightly more votes from 8.5% of the electorate by giving them something they don't want. As Byron York has shown, even if Mitt Romney had won 70% of the Hispanic vote, he still would have lost. No Republican presidential candidate in at least 50 years has won even half of the Hispanic vote. So when we get back, you'll explain that because people just need to understand it may not matter for the Republicans that if the animating issue in amnesty is, well, we will now be seen as the Hispanics' ally. If that's the animating impulse, apparently it doesn't work. What needs to be done is the same thing that needs to be done to American-born Americans, and that is change their minds. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show with Ann Coulter. Talking to Ann Coulter about the very difficult issue of immigration, illegal immigration. Well, actually, illegal immigration, since I assume, like me, you are very pro-legal immigration.
Yes, just not the current system.
Not the current system, right.
No, it's very bad. I mean, once we have a Republican Senate, we really do have to repeal Kennedy's 1965 Immigration Act. It is, again, designed to help the Democrats win elections. It is not designed to help America.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Let me go back to the point there that people need to understand. I think you make the point very persuasively. If the Republicans, I've said this a few times, if the Republicans have stood at the border and gave out gifts to people coming in illegally, it would not change the vote.
No, no. No, the Democrats' argument, completely swallowed by Marco Rubio, is if we allow this massive influx of new voters, whom all studies show are 80% against the Republicans, it will help the GOP. And meanwhile, if you don't grant amnesty to them, a smaller group of recent immigrants will remain hostile to you. But in fact, for one thing, the math just doesn't add up, even if that's true. But then let's go to the next point. There's really no evidence that other than the activist groups and, you know, the head of Univision, Hispanics particularly want amnesty. I mean, why would they? Do you want another seven people to compete with you in your job category? How about we start bringing in immigrants who are going to compete with Wall Street Journal editors or compete with Florida senators or compete with casino owners and ranch owners for their jobs? No. We're going to bring in lots and lots of people to compete with. Exactly the people who aren't voting for us now, the low-wage workers. The way we eventually get them is by allowing America time to not only assimilate and incorporate them, but to reduce their numbers in that low-wage category so that their salaries go up.
Has there been a poll of Hispanics with regard to amnesty and illegal immigration?
Why, yes, there has. Thank you for asking, Dennis Prager. Yeah, the Pew Hispanic Center is polling them constantly. And amnesty, as I say in my column, I think, is like just above the problem of scratchy towels. Their top like three concerns are jobs and the economy, healthcare, education. You know, eventually you get down to amnesty. The only thing lower than amnesty is the federal budget deficit. And for those of you who have been paying attention to politics, the deficit has never been a big vote magnet.
Yeah, that is in your column, and I remembered emphasize in bold the scratchy towels line. That is correct. What do you want to do with 11 million, the assumed number of illegal immigrants?
I just don't think you can reward lawbreakers, and I also don't think, contrary to these terrifying claims of the Democrats, that Americans can't sleep at night worried about 11 million criminals living in the shadows. Some will stay, some will go home, but if Congress were serious about enforcing our immigration laws, and most of them, at least in the Senate right now, are not, they just instantly enforce E-Verify. There's already a law requiring that the fence be built, and it's never been built. Fence works pretty well in Israel, I note. The idea that a fence is some technology that we just can't get our heads around. We've had fences since the Middle Ages. Build a fence. And E-Verify is very important. It allows employers. It's like the one government program that works. I believe it was designed by Chris Kobach, the Attorney General of Kansas. And it allows employers in about 30 seconds to check whether someone applying for a job is a citizen or not. You have to do that to get a gun. How about to get a job in order to help low-wage?
All right. What about and what about the children of these 11 million?
Yeah, I don't get that argument either. It's like saying, if I break into your house, I get to own it. And okay, if I don't get to own it, my kids get to own it. Oh, come on. It's unfair to the children. I told them it was their house. No, I'm sorry. You broke the law. Look, I don't mean to be completely uncompassionate. We can make case-by-case decisions. But the idea that we have some moral obligation to people who knew they were breaking the law. I mean, they were sneaking through the border at night, swimming through rivers, often having criminals put them in the back of trucks, and now they're acting like, what, did I do something wrong? Look, you knew you were breaking the law coming here. You knew there was a chance you'd be caught and sent back, and you knew that this was not going to be the pathway to citizenship for your children, or It hopefully won't be.
Yeah, the only modification I would engage in, until it's only rhetorical, is I wouldn't call them criminals, even though they broke the law, obviously. So, but I have written and I have said very often, and everything else I agree with here, is I would do the same thing they did. If I could get into the United States of America, leaving a Latin American country where I had no hope, I would do everything I could to get into the greatest land of opportunity in the world. What I have never understood is why there aren't Thank You America Days organized by, and I mean it, I have said this, Gracias America Days. So I don't want to call them criminals, but I want them to say thank you. I mean, there's rhetoric on both sides that I care about.
No, I think my point is more with the moral posturing of Democrats who could not care less about these people. They just want the votes. And they get all weepy about oh, are you going to send them home? My point is just, come on, we're talking about people who knew they were breaking the law.
That's fair. All right, your column is up. It's very clear, and one of the biggest points that you make, and it's worth just repeating, it won't change Hispanics into Republicans if Republicans pass this law.
Oh, no.
Right.
We'll have a lot more Democrats. That's all that will happen.
I think that's true, unfortunately. I want to change that, but that's a separate battle. And thanks a million.
Great to talk to you, Dennis.
Thank you very much. All right, some final thoughts for me when we come back. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Just devoted to the hour with Ann Coulter to the subject of illegal immigration, the immigration bill, the Republican Party. See, it's so sad. We created a problem because of a mixture of politics and often misplaced compassion. And I say misplaced because I have compassion for people who can't get jobs in this country, who might have been knocked out of the job market because of cheap labor provided by illegal immigrants. I have compassion for the guy in Africa who was lined up at an American consulate, who has worked his tail off in whatever African country he is to get an education, who would be a tremendous asset to the American people and American economy, and who can't get in because of all the bureaucratic rules that the State Department has vis-a-vis legal immigration. Republicans need to be honest. I think honesty, over time, honesty will get you votes. And we honestly have to confront the fact that we want immigrants. I mean, if I don't want the Republican Party to be known as anti-immigrant. That's New York Times speak, and that's the way they put it. Instead of anti-illegal immigrant, and it's a very, very different thing. At the same time, I don't want to state in terrible terms what these people who come here are. The vast majority of them would do what I would do. I have said this for decades. If I lived within hundreds of miles of the freest, most opportunity-giving country on the face of the earth, and I were in a dead end for myself, my children, and their children, and their children, of course I would go there. What kills me is the demonization of that, but even more so is that we don't tell these people who come here, do you know why you had opportunity in America and you didn't have it in Mexico and you didn't have it in Guatemala and you didn't have it in El Salvador and you didn't have it and you name the country? Because we have a free system. Because we believe in small government, and every Latin American country believes in big government. That's why. But nobody is telling American-born, seventh-generation Americans aren't being taught this. Bill Bennett, good credentials, folks. Bill Bennett, I'll never forget what he said once. He said, I am not worried about what immigrants or illegal immigrants even will do to America. I am worried about what America will do to the immigrants and the illegal immigrants. In other words, our value system has sunk. We don't Americanize people who come here illegally or legally, and people even born here. Back in a moment. I'm Dennis Prager.